Well, when my family and I moved to Wynnum, we left behind our acreage at Theodore. We left behind one grocery shop, one pub, one newsagent, one school. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of suburbia, surrounded by houses and people. There's noise and activity. We're bombarded with options. Within 2 kilometres of our house, there's at least 6 major grocery stores. I feel like the guy on the Paul's Milk ad. You might remember it from about 10 years ago. The poor bloke goes to the corner store and he asks for a bottle of milk, and the lady at the counter says, low fat, no fat, full cream, high calcium, high protein, soy, light, skim, omega 3, high calcium with vitamin D and folate, or extra dollop. He says, I just want milk that tastes like real milk. Our daily options are perhaps the most overwhelming thing that we face. But what about when there's decisions we're making about more serious things, about spiritual things, about eternal matters? Today we celebrate life. Easter Sunday's supposed to be all about the risen Lord Jesus. But I want to suggest there's a million other voices calling us. It's this way to peace and happiness, or that way to a good life. Spend your money here because you deserve the best. How do I know which way to go? Which voice should we listen to? On this Resurrection Sunday, I want us to wrestle with Simon Peter's question there in verse 68 of John chapter 6. To whom shall we go? I want us to ask ourselves, who do we listen to? You see, I think Peter's question suggests even faithful disciples consider turning their backs on Jesus for at least a moment. I want to cut through the traditions of Easter Sunday. Forget about fluffy bunnies and chocolate for a moment. Let's think about some of the wrong ideas kicking around. Let's get real about our faith. How? Why do we follow Jesus in a world full of options? Now, you'll see some questions there in the bulletin to help you follow along if you want to take notes. We'll be asking, which option should we take? Where else can I go? Where else can I go? Following Jesus is hard. Where else can I go to have eternal life? And thirdly, we'll be asking, where else can I go if God makes the way? Well, firstly, where else can I go? Following Jesus is hard. You might have your Bibles there. Open at John chapter 6. Today we're picking up, as you might have imagined, verses 60 to 71. After walking on water, Jesus gives his Bread of Life address. And if you were here Friday, you'll remember Jeff talking about that. But just for a moment, especially for those of you who couldn't be here, let's look back. Jesus says some pretty radical stuff. Look quickly with me at a few verses there in John chapter 6. Verse 27, Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Verse 35, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 51, Jesus says, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And verse 54, Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now just imagine you're hearing these verses for the first time. Maybe this is your first time. I mean, it's strange to say the least, isn't it? It's weird. It even feels cannibalistic. Eating flesh and drinking blood? Come on. No wonder the disciples are asking questions, like the one there in verse 60. This is hard teaching. Who can accept it? The thing is, Jesus is offering life, giving himself as a sacrifice for the sin of his followers. He's saying it's all about him. But some of them just can't accept it. And if we're honest, accepting Jesus is hard for us too, isn't it? It's hard because we don't always understand what he's doing. It's hard because it looks weird. Others might even think we're stupid. And what's more, Jesus causes offence. Does this offend you? Jesus says there in verse 61. You see, the people there, they liked the bread Jesus gave them at the beginning of chapter 6, and they wanted to make him the earthly king. That's back in verse 15, if you wanted to look at it. They hoped for a good life. They hoped he'd fulfill their plan. Instead, Jesus offers his body as a sacrifice. He offers a different kind of bread. He offers eternal life. He's come to do God's plan, not theirs. They wanted what Jesus would not give. Jesus offered what they would not accept. And there in verse 36, in verse 66, the offence drives them away. Many of his disciples turn their back and no longer follow him. Jesus' teaching is hard because he has a different vision of life to us. Following him is hard because it's not on our terms. The teaching of Jesus is offensive because he says you don't have anything to offer. The flesh counts for nothing, there in verse 63. The teaching of Jesus offends us because he says we can't come by ourselves. There in verse 65, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. You know, in fact, to follow Jesus, it means being humiliated. Kind of humiliated in the sense that we realise our shame, that we need to get rid of any sense of pride within us. Following Jesus is hard because it means we need to be brought to the end of ourselves. We need to realise that God doesn't need anything that we've got. Following Jesus is hard because it means we're hopeless. It means admitting we're stuck in sin, deserving death. One last one, following Jesus is hard because it means realising it should have been me on that cross 3 days ago. Now think about that for a moment. It should have been you on the cross, condemned to death. Well, that brings us to the second point there in the outline. Where else can I go to have eternal life? Where else can I go? Is there another way to get eternal life? Well, let's look there at verse 67 and 68. Jesus says to the 12, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" And Simon Peter says, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" You know, I think Peter's thought about the options, and perhaps you have too. Jesus' teaching is exclusive, but can I go somewhere else? If there's a God, is there another way to escape his anger? Maybe there's another perspective on sin, another way to cheat death, to get eternal life. Now, shall I follow those who say God doesn't exist, that Jesus is just a good moral teacher, that he wasn't crucified, that he didn't rise from the dead? At the end of the day, do we listen to those saying, all I can do is try and get the best out of life? Shall I follow those who say that God's not in charge? He's not in control. He can't tell me what to do. Shall I follow those who say sin's not serious? That's an old way of thinking. God's a loving God. He won't judge. Shall I follow those who deny the power of sin? If everyone does their best, well, God will be happy. Friends, the problem is these are non-options. Denying God's existence makes life and who should live subjective. It's hopeless because it makes people nothing more than a blob of cells, mutated slime. Our culture's tried that one. It's made life so meaningless that you can now legally abort your baby up to full term. Kill it because the other options are just too hard. Denying God's rule is hopeless too. It leaves us in control. And we're not good when we're in control. We mess with things that aren't ours to mess with. I was reading a report on gender dysphoria treatment in the UK recently. It states that in 2017, 2,500 young people were referred to gender identity clinics. Kids as young as 3 are being placed on medicine, and I quote, that amounts to an unregulated experiment on children. This can't end well. People have made sex and gender king, and it's a mess. When we deny God's rule and make self-expression king, it's disastrous. People get messed up. And do we really want to live in a world where God doesn't care? Where sin's not taken seriously? Where the abuses like those uncovered in the recent Royal Commission are ignored? Friends, the Catholic Church tried that, and it's ghastly. No, we need God to be righteous, to take sin seriously, to hold sinners to account. We need God to care. And thankfully, he does. And what about being good enough? I mean, ask yourselves, are you really good? Have you never broken any of God's commands? I think we're kidding ourselves if we think sins are merely a spot on our good character. Human nature isn't just a little bit bad sometimes. It's infected to the core. If we're honest, we know in our hearts and from experience that human beings on their own will not and cannot submit to God. We are fatally sabotaged by sin. Sin that deserves condemnation. Sin that leads to death. None of these options deal with sin and death. Friends, following Jesus might be hard. His teaching might be exclusive. He excludes all other ways and all other religions. But, as Peter says there in verse 68, to whom shall I go? To whom shall we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. You know, Peter's onto something even before Jesus rose to life. Anyone who's been dead 3 days and rises to life again has to be listened to. Now, like Simon Peter, we're all out of options. Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, has the words of eternal life. Jesus is the one who shows the way. The Son of God who took on flesh and died for sinners. He is risen today. Amen? He's done the one thing no one else in history has. He's overcome death for us. He promises resurrection for us too. If we believe in him, he will raise us up on the last day. It's there in verse 40 and again in verse 44, and again, in case you missed it, it's in 54 as well. Jesus has gone ahead of us to the Father. He's ascended to heaven. He talks about that in verse 62. He asks, what if you see the Son of Man ascended to where he was before? Jesus being with the Father means he's got the all area access pass to the kingdom of God. He's the one who gives access to God. Where else can you go? Who else has got this kind of access? Who else can give us eternal life? You know, the problem is, though, there is always questions, isn't there? The disciples had questions, and perhaps even today that you've got questions. How do we make sense of it all? How do we believe when there's questions? How does offence turn to faith? I've got nowhere else to go, but how do I believe? Well, the answer comes to us down there in verse 65. God the Father has to act for us to come to Jesus. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. We're up to the final point if you're following in the bulletin. Where else can I go? God makes the way. Where else can I go if God makes the way? Now, the first thing I want us to notice here is the Father doesn't act alone. If we look carefully, we'll see the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons working to give life. Read it with me, verse 63. Jesus says, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life. Then jumping down to verse 65, he says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me, that's Jesus the Son, unless the Father has enabled them. I just notice also there's a connection between the words of Jesus and the Spirit of God. Friends, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit who works through the words of Jesus that we learn to trust him, to follow him, and receive life. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn to believe the word, to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And it's by knowing this that we learn to say no. No to those who tell us there's no God. No to those who say he's powerless. No to thinking sin is not bad and that it has no power over his people. It's by the power of the Spirit that we believe the exclusive hard teaching of Jesus. We're rescued from the judgment that awaits the many who turned away there in verse 66 by trusting him. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we realise with Peter that we have nowhere else to go. That we don't even want to go anywhere else. And it's as you come to Jesus that you realise God, in his great mercy, he's chosen you. God, in his great mercy, has chosen you. Well, perhaps you're sitting here today and it's just troubling you. You're wondering if God's chosen you. You kind of feel like you've been backed into a corner. You know that believing Jesus is hard, but you're asking, where else can I go? Well, friend, if that's you today, I want to suggest it's no mistake you're here. The very fact that you're challenged by God's word means he's at work today in you. You know, perhaps today is the day you realise, despite the questions, despite the weirdness, you can come to believe Jesus is the Holy One of God. Brothers and sisters, to whom shall we go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. This means that this Easter, we don't need to worry about the hollow feel-good sentiments about eggs and rabbits. We have new life in Jesus. It means we can be real about sin, real about the sadness it causes. We can be real about our brokenness. We don't need to pretend everything's as it should be. We can live in the midst of disappointment and loss. But we can have hope because you're destined for something way better than what you dreamed of or what you missed out on. Better than anything you could lose. Friends, we don't need to pretend because Jesus has overcome death and united us to him. We're bound for eternal life. Easter's more than bunnies and chocolate. God's at work. He's at work when you're scared. He's with you when you're troubled by the questions. He's with you because Jesus lives. That means you can pray and he's right there with you. Since Jesus has chosen you, you don't need to suck every last bit of pleasure out of life or chase after success like your life depends on it. It's whatever life dishes up, whatever options you're faced with, you can have confidence in Jesus because he gives you eternal life. Like the Paul's guy, you might have all the options under the sun, low fat, full cream, high calcium, whatever. You can say with confidence, I'll just have the risen Lord Jesus, please. Jesus cuts through the noise, the world full of options. Friends, Peter nails it for us. There is nowhere else to go. Jesus gives eternal life. Let's pray together. Lord God, we're faced with so many options in the world around us, voices calling us this way and that way. But we thank you that you've given us the sure option in Christ Jesus, who is risen today. And we pray, Lord, that as we go out into the week ahead, that we would be living for Jesus and that you would teach us to say no to the options that bring disaster upon us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.